Hey, can you hear me?
Okay, good. Well, so can your potential customers, right here on your Odyssey station. You might be used to skipping social ads, but you are still listening to me right now. And so are your clients. To learn how to drive more business and how Odyssey can help get your message to your customers, visit stateofaudio.com. That's stateofaudio.com.
AT&T Fiber presents a straightforward moment.
Your wine?
Thanks. I'll pretend I know what I'm doing before saying it's good.
And I'll pretend I don't know you're pretending.
Are you a gagillionaire?
Yeah, I have AT&T Fiber. The straightforward pricing has inspired me to be more straightforward.
Me too.
Ugh, this wine. I'll fetch you a better one.
Straightforward is better. No equipment fees, no data caps, no price increase at 12 months. Live like a gagillionaire with AT&T Fiber. Limited availability in select areas. Visit att.com/hypergig for details.
I just want you to know I'm playing hurt. I'm taking one for the team. Oh, it's so ugly. I was cleaning in a hurry because there's not always a host in studio before me. And David Sheppard was hosting here on CBS Sports Radio in for JR Sport Brief. Generally, I'm all cleaned and set up an hour at least before the show starts. So I'm in here trying to furiously wipe down all the equipment, which I've been doing now for 3 years. I keep thinking, I wonder when I'll stop this, but I just haven't. I came back in studio, actually, believe it or not. I returned to studio in July of 2020. Right after July 4th. So July 4th week was my last week working from home in 2020. And I returned about this time, within 1 or 2 days of this exact moment 3 years ago. So I've been back in studio for 3 years. And of course, we were told that we had to wipe everything down, even though I was the only one using the studio. There was nobody here, literally, for months. I was the only one using the studio. But I did keep wiping it down. And I've just not stopped. I think it's good hygiene. And we do tend to have a lot of germs that accumulate when we're all using the same studio, right? So David Sheppard's in here. I come rushing in. Ow, that hurts so bad. I come rushing in here and I'm furiously wiping things down. And we have these flimsy wipes that the company gives us. I might need some ice, Jay. I'm not kidding. This is turning black. I have generally have my own wipes, which are they're a little fluffier. They're a little more, they have more constitution to them. They're not as flimsy as the ones the company provides. And so as I'm furiously wiping up, I accidentally, with this flimsy wipe, jam my middle finger into this pole. It's a pole, a post of some kind that's underneath the desk, and it hurts so bad. And I apparently did it really hard because I've already got this black line on my middle finger. What if I lose my finger? What if it's like a fireworks accident and I lose my finger?
Oh no.
I know. It's already turning black. Jay, I need some ice.
Is it swelling?
It is. Did you know the tip of your middle finger could swell? It's swelling and it's black. Like there's a part of it, there's a black line on it. That's how bad I hit it. It's an instant bruise and it hurts. What if I lose my fingernail? What if I lose my finger? What if I lose my finger?
You get to amputate already?
Already. You've heard of those people who get frostbite, who lose the tips of their fingers or...
Yes.
Ow, it hurts. Don't laugh. I'm going to show you my middle finger so you can see it. Isn't that what happened? Who was it last week that we were laughing at who was flashing? Oh, it was Phil Nevin, right? He got
correct.
In front of the media and he was demonstrating how Shohei Ohtani had a cracked middle fingernail. And so he puts his middle finger up in the air and is like, oh, sorry, like I'm doing right now. Oh, sorry, Jay. Ow, that hurts. I am such a klutz. I'm telling you what, I'm constantly walking into furniture and pets and laundry baskets and everything else in my house. Even though they don't move, I put them there. Well, the pets move. But I know where everything is. I've been in the house 3 years, and yet somehow I still walk into door frames and get mad, and then I apologize. It's in the broad daylight, too. It's not like this is happening in the dark.
Well, who put a pole under the table there?
I'm telling you, it's a post. I don't know. It hurts, though. Why is it metal and unforgiving? And why do we have flimsy wipes that cause me to kind of lose my grip? So that's what I was saying earlier. The wipes that you get from, I don't know, Lysol or any of the other like brand name Clorox. Companies, they're grippy. Right? They're grippier. So these are not grippy.
No, these are like one ply.
Right, exactly. So I lost, my hand was on the wipe and I was kind of wiping the upper edge of this table that's next to me. And as I lost the grip, my hand lost the grip on the wipe and went slamming into this post. You need to come just take the post out.
Is that a work injury?
It's workman's comp.
It might be.
They're going to have to pay for me to get a new middle finger.
For the damages.
They are.
Emotionally.
Sorry
as well.
That I keep. That's right. I'm near tears.
Every time you go to plug in your headphones from now on, you're going to be thinking about it.
I have to work hurt. Sorry that I keep flashing the middle finger at you.
I mean, do you want me to get your
Don't take
or?
It personally. I do. I'm not kidding. It's swelling up.
Finger.
I mean, I'm kidding about the workman's comp, unless I lose my fingertip. But I am not kidding about the fact that it hurts like a son of a bitch. Sorry. It hurts really badly. I didn't even know your middle finger could hurt that badly. And I played basketball for years and I jammed fingers all the time. But this is like on the tip. It's not your knuckle. Ouch.
Scale of 1 to 10. How bad is the pain?
An 11 and a half.
Oh my God, is this serious?
Yes, this is serious. Stop making fun of me. This is real.
I'm not.
It's a good thing it's my left hand. I might never be able to write again. Do you think I have to call in sick later?
Was that a joke? Because that worked.
Well, you know how when you hold the pen, you are sometimes, depending upon how you write, you have to use your middle finger on the writing utensil. I would be unable to do this right now. My poor middle finger. What if over the course of the next hour, my whole middle finger turns bruised and black? Then will you call the ER? We'll get an ambulance.
I will, yeah.
Okay, we're just going to have to leave. We're going to abandon ship. We're just going to leave.
I'll just put on like an album. Run for an hour.
Patriotic music. Oh, ouch. I mean, I know I'm a klutz, but why is that post there? And why do we have flimsy, non-grippy wipes?
It really comes down to the wipes, the flimsy wipes.
It really does. I can't stop staring at the black line that's now emerging on the end of my fingertip.
Can we remove the pole section or no?
Oh, I thought you were talking about removing the end of my fingertip.
No, we're not removing.
We're not there yet. We haven't graduated to that yet. Ouch. Usually it's you who has all kinds of things going on in there. And no, the Sour Patch Kids are not going to make it feel better, though I am tempted. But I already had ice cream tonight. New rule. In addition to no more cleaning with non-grippy wipes. I'm going to have to get some wipes at the grocery store later this morning. The new rule is this. When you go running and the heat index is 90 or above, you automatically get to eat ice cream. That's how it goes. I ran because we'd had all these thunderstorms and rain for over a week now, which is great. We need the rain. But I needed an afternoon where there was no rain so I could go running outside. I don't run nearly as much in the dog days of summer, but I do try to run at least once a week outside. Well, it was 89 degrees when I left the house, and it was 95 heat index. I nearly passed out twice. I almost died trying to come back up the hill to my house. But then I got to eat ice cream with chocolate chips on top, so it was beautiful.
I think that's a good rule of thumb.
It's a good rule. It's a new rule. I'm telling you. I put it on Twitter, which means it's real. By the way, did you hear there's a new competitor to Twitter?
I have seen that. I've actually checked it out.
Did you? Okay, we're going to have to get your assessment. We will have to, just for the sake of equality, right, equal time, we're going to have to give some pub to this other service, social media that's popping up now. Twitter's had other challengers, and they've all kind of fallen by the wayside. Something called Blue Sky, I never even heard of it, but apparently it popped up. I'm trying to distract myself from the fact that my middle finger is falling off. And so now there's a... just made a face like, oh, no. There's now a new challenger to Twitter, so we're going to have to get to that. I saw that Peter Schwartz, our sometime friend here in studio,
he went.
Sometime anchor, he apparently has set up a new account
That's
with this
big deal.
Twitter competitor.
People are flocking.
Are they? Okay. I mean, I can't flock right now. My finger hurts. But I can't even type. It'd be impossible for me to type right now. I might not be able to text. By the way, there's this new study out. This is really funny. It gauged the way that you scroll. How do you scroll? When you are, okay, open up Twitter on your phone. I give you permission one time to use your phone while we're on the air. So open up Twitter or the new competitor to Twitter. How do you scroll? Do you scroll with a finger or do you scroll with your thumbs?
I scroll with my thumb.
Okay. Well, apparently Gen Z scrolls with thumbs. That's how you know. Weird study. That's how you know that it's young people. They scroll with thumbs, which I've never scrolled with a finger in my life. No. I scroll with thumbs. But I guess baby boomers scroll with fingers. So now if you are a Gen Zer, I actually heard one of them talking about this. If you are a Gen Zer and you scroll with your thumbs, then you are automatically an outcast.
Oh, yeah.
You are required. I'm sorry, not thumbs, finger. If you scroll with your finger, right, that means that you're old. So you have to, as a young person, scroll with thumbs, or apparently you're excommunicated. Well, who does a study like that? Seriously, yeah, who commissions a study over how baby boomers scroll and how young people scroll? And how come there's no study done on Gen X or millennials, which you are? I'm Gen X. You're a millennial.
Yeah.
Why don't we get taken into account? We're in no man's
it's
land.
It's just one side of the spectrum and the other. There's no in between.
Exactly.
There.
Apparently, we don't count in how we scroll. But I've never scrolled with a finger. Scroll with one thumb. It's barbaric. I scroll with one thumb on my left hand is how I scroll. Because I actually, weirdly enough, I'm right-handed, but I do all my texting and scrolling with my left hand.
Really?
I have no idea why. I might be ambidextrous when it comes to the phone. But mostly, I'm telling you right now, I can't do any of it because my middle finger on my left hand is about to fall off.
Voice to text?
I do use that sometimes. I've become one of those people that does voice to text outside in the morning when I'm walking the dog because there's nobody else around. And then somebody will come out of their house and I'm standing there talking to my phone. It's swelling up like a balloon. Can you see it? Don't look at my middle finger. You can't see anything from in there. Jay's completely blind from 5 feet away.
Like 8 feet.
Well, we're 10 feet away at least, so he can't see a thing. Just take my word for it. My finger is ballooning. None of that was useful information, by the way, but we will get to Twitter's new competitor. And did you hear about the Michael Rubin July 4th party? Did you hear about it? So I fell down this rabbit hole on Wednesday morning looking at the guest list for the Michael Rubin July 4th. Hi, Tom Brady. All white. Apparently, you can only show up and be admitted if you're wearing all white. You cannot wear any colors other than white. And it was a plethora of who's who in the music, entertainment, and sports world. Wait until you hear which athletes were invited to Michael Rubin, who he used to be part owner of the Sixers, correct? He's a billionaire, as in $10.4 billion is his worth. So nothing compared to Steve Cohen, but he is a billionaire many times over. And so I'm pretty sure he used to be one of the owners of the Sixers. Anyway, he throws this party every year. And it's an all-white July 4th bash. And he actually produced a movie, either he or someone he hired probably, produced a movie of this party. That's how posh it is. There's a movie of the party. But the guest list is out there, not to mention the photos and the videos. And if you hadn't heard about it, it's my first time not being invited. If you hadn't heard about it, wait until you hear the list of athletes that were at this party. You just don't realize who the cool kids are until you see one of these parties and you think, what is that guy doing there? But apparently James Harden's super cool when it comes to celebs and entertainers. Ew.
Love you, James.
Well, Michael Rubin does. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. At least I finally remember my name now that the swelling it's throbbing, but I'm getting used to it. Ow, it hurts really bad, Jay. I don't think I can continue. What if I can't continue?
I think we got to get ice on it.
We definitely do need to get ice on it. That's for sure. Last year at this time, I was nursing a sore knee. I wouldn't rather have the sore knee. I'd rather have this sore middle fingertip.
You can make like a makeshift splint.
Huh.
I used to be a lifeguard and like do stuff like that. Yeah? Like MacGyver-y kind of stuff.
MacGyver-y to do a makeshift splint.
Get like a popsicle stick and like some dental floss and like.
Got it. Got it. Okay.
It's fixed up.
So what? But how will that help the swelling on my finger?
It'll just stabilize it. I don't know. Put some ice on it.
Let's try ice and see what happens then. In addition to Michael Rubin's very posh party, we will also give you Twitter's new competitor. We've got the latest fireworks from the baseball diamond. We call it diamond drama. Did you know the July 4th fireworks are not over? Man, there's some crazy stuff happening on the diamond in the last few hours. The Atlanta Braves are at it again. So are the Miami Marlins. And I don't know, in that same division, should we be afraid of the New York Mets now? Plus, Josh Allen speaks out because why not? And more QB news on what is a Wednesday night in July. Of course, QB news works all the time. What did we determine last night, Jay? The last NFL training camps to be fully and completely open are July 29th. There were a couple that were 26th. July 20th. Oh, 26th?
Was the last one, yeah.
Are you sure? Because I feel like, that was a misprint.
Right.
Okay. So, yes, July 26th, even though... on the website I was looking at, the Jets said the 29th. It was supposed to be the 19th. So, yeah, we are perilously close. Perilously close, I tell you, to NFL training camps. Did you know the Hall of Fame game is not even a month away? Stop it. I might not be healed by then. What happens? I don't think I can start preseason. I'm going to have to be on the IL.
Looking at an IL.
That's baseball. No, that's baseball. The DL. The what is it called in football? IR. IR. I'm going to have to be on
second.
The... Seriously, we're out of football mode. I might have to be on the IR, Jay. I don't know if I can be ready for the start of training camp, but you know, veterans don't really want to go to training camp.
Right.
They sometimes somehow have injuries that pop up right when training camp starts.
I think you can show up week one. At least I can't get the job done.
Week two. Let's go week two.
Week two, yeah.
We'll target week two.
Week three. Take a little rest.
All right. Well, I hope my finger doesn't take that long to heal, but if I have to get it removed. And one more thing, I'm not the whole finger, just the end of it. One more thing that we're going to cover tonight. Did you hear some of the accidents from July 4th with people attempting to do their own fireworks displays? I do not understand what's wrong with people sometimes.
Happens every year.
Oh, my. But some of the stories, outrageous. So we're going to have, I shouldn't use fun associated with fireworks accidents. We're going to have fun on the show because I may never be here again. This could be it. This could be the last that you hear of me if I have to get a finger removed. Who put the post there in the first place?
Ow.
Exactly. Thank you. I think I'd rather get hit in the face with a foul ball.
It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
I might actually... need to get hit in the face with a foul ball so I can forget the pain of my finger. Every night now, by the way, I see the trailer for MI. Is it MI8? MI9? Is it 8 or 9? I don't know. The new MI movie, I am all in. I'm going to need to do a Mission Impossible binge watch over the month of July so I can go see that movie in the theaters. Cannot wait. Okay. Is that it? I think that's pretty much it.
Let's get the ice.
On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Seriously, if you have some tips for how to get this black line off the end of my finger, it's awful. Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Coming up, by the way, a conversation with a brand new Warriors insider that we haven't had on the show before. Why, you ask? Well, I want to know why Draymond Green decided to stay with the Warriors for less money. And how Chris Paul fits into the equation. Thank you, by the way, for those of you who gave us a ton of traffic to our interview about the Angels and Ohtani. That got a just a lot of views. We put one of the answers about Ohtani and his future and the Angel strategy up on Twitter, and tons of you were flocking to that. So we're glad that we had Jeff Fletcher on last night's show. And actually, I will retweet it just so that it's at the top of your news feed. We're just getting started. I don't know. At some point, I might black out. Not really sure what's going to happen here. It's just, it seems like I'm living on borrowed time right now. It's After Hours with Amy Laura Jay. Why are you laughing? That's not funny. There's a black line on the end of my finger. It could be. What if it's gangrene?
You think it's gangrene?
I don't know what
it is. Spreading?
It's a black line on the end of my finger. Did you know you could bruise the end of your finger? Is all I'm saying.
I hope it's not gangrene.
I do too, because I can't go on without a finger. This finger especially. This one. See it?
I'm looking at it.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS.
AT&T Fiber presents A Straightforward Moment.
Your wine?
Thanks.
I'll pretend I know what I'm doing before saying it's good.
And I'll pretend I don't know you're pretending.
Are you a gigillionaire?
Yeah, I have AT&T Fiber. The straightforward pricing has inspired me to be more straightforward.
Me too.
Ugh, this wine. I'll fetch you a better one.
Straightforward is better. No equipment fees, no data caps, no price increase at 12 months. Live like a gigillionaire with AT&T Fiber. Limited availability in select areas. Visit att.com/hypergig for details.
Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Rosario hammers one out toward the gap. That's into the alley, and that'll score two runs. Eddie going into second base with a two RBI double, and it's 4-0 Atlanta. Here comes the 0-1 to Austin. And he powers one to deep right field. That'll send back Brennan to the wall. That is out of the ballpark. Austin Riley dials up the launch coach once again. 2-1, slug to deep right field. That explodes off his bat and lands deep over the wall. A homer by Olsen, his 29th of the year. 7-0 Atlanta.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Atlanta Braves didn't take much of a break from winning. They're back to their old tricks in Cleveland. That's Ben Ingram on Braves Radio. Matt Olson with home run number 29, as you hear. He's now up to 70 RBI, but he's not the only one. It is fireworks, as in bombs away for the Braves. They now have home runs in 23 straight games. They lead the majors with 166 total home runs. They are, in fact, assaulting the single season record, though we still have a long way to go, but they're on pace to shatter the single season record for home runs hit by one team. And they've won 18 of their last 20. So there's that. And meanwhile, not sure if you noticed this, but the Tampa Bay Rays, who were one of the surprises of the first half, we're going to get to some of your answers we asked you on last night's show. The surprises of the baseball first half, either positive or negative, team or individual. With the Rays having dropped a season high four consecutive games, the Braves are now sitting on the most wins in baseball and the best winning percentage. So atop the NL East, they're 58-28, 30 games above 500. Meanwhile, the Rays have been stuck on 57 wins now for the better part of a week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It seems like the Braves have been able to maintain their lead over the Marlins in the NL East, despite the fact that the Marlins have a flair for the dramatic. Did you see the end of the game between the Cardinals and the Marlins? Really, the ninth inning. If you only watch the ninth inning, you got your money's worth.
On 3-2, Contreras leads at first. There he goes. The pitch by Puck. Swung on. And a drive. Deep left field. It's a gunner. It's a gunner for Walker. The Cardinals go ahead. Down to their last strike. And they lead 9-8 in Miami. Unbelievable.
The count is 1-2 to Joey Wendell. Bottom of the ninth inning. There goes Hampson. The pitch is dribbled towards Hicks. He's got it. He's going to throw it to first. He threw it away. Hampson's going to score. Going towards third, Gurriel. He's going to try to score. He's going to score. The Marlins just won. Efrain Hicks. Oh, my goodness. They've done it again. They have done it again. The Marlins win it 10-9.
Talk about a crushing blow for the Cardinals. They get the lead in the ninth inning on Jordan Walker's two-run blast that you hear with John Rooney on Cardinals radio. And then in the bottom of the inning, if you haven't seen the video, Jay, I'm not sure if you want to retweet it from our show account, After Hours CBS, so people can see it. But Joey Wendell bounces an infield single. Well, we don't know if it's an infield single at that point, but he bounces a ball to Jordan Hicks, the pitcher, who comes off the mound, feels it cleanly, and then as he's looking over to first base, his teammate's not there, couple of steps away from the bag. So what does he do? He double clutches, and the second clutch, when he throws it, it sails over the head of his first baseman. It's an error and allows two runs to score. It's a little bit like the Bad News Bears. But the thing is, he was so close to him. It's not like he was throwing it from left field or something. Nah, he probably could have run it there himself, to be perfectly honest, but it played out in some kind of wild fashion for another Marlins win.
Crazy game, just back and forth, walks, lots of hits, not real clean baseball overall from either side, but you know, we got the win, so I'll take the win.
Kind of chaos, yeah, I mean, it's fun how it ended that way, but I mean, you know, before that, just such a good team win. I mean, back and forth, you know, guys picking each other up, just, you know, constantly just guys getting on base, big hits, and just sticking at it for nine whole innings.
Skip Schumacher, he said actually that as a manager, this ranks as the wildest game he's ever been a part of. Now remember, he was on that Cardinals roster. Was it game six of the World Series where David Freese had the walk-off? Well, helped them to tie it, then had the crazy walk-off against the Red Sox, right? Was the Red Sox? Rangers, yes, thank you. So anyway, he was part of that, but this is the wildest one that he's ever seen as a manager. Marlins have won 9 of 13. You hear Joey Wendell talking about he's so calm now. Yeah, Ollie Marmol, not calm at all. He can't believe that one got away.
Double pumped, and they would have kept going home, and there just wasn't an awareness on his part of that. So combination of that and a bad throw is where you end up losing that game.
Does he have to just ignore the runner and make a good throw? I mean,
No, you never ignore the runner. You're aware of your surroundings, and that just wasn't the case tonight.
That was a case where, I mean, his teammates were yelling for him to go home.
Yeah, right? Everyone in the dugout as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just
that caused the pause.
Probably couldn't hear it, or I'm not exactly sure. I've yet to catch up with him.
So don't know yet whether or not Jordan Hicks heard his teammates or just made that decision, kind of one of those brain fart moments where he double clutches. But again, the first baseman wasn't at the bag anyway, so he had to wait for him to get there. But instead of turning and firing at home or just never turning to first base in the first place, he kind of has one of those moments where you think, what is going through his mind? Anybody hear from Jordan Hicks? I would imagine that the reporters went straight to him. Marco Belletti's here in studio. Have you seen that?
I have not.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting when we finally hear from Jordan. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. And speaking of wild endings, we'll wait till we get to Mets and Diamondbacks. So, yeah, in the NL East, all the teams are surging, but the Braves are still sitting on an 8-game lead as we get closer to the All-Star break. So I would advise you strongly to avoid the post that's underneath this computer right here that's down below the console. Because I was cleaning. We have non-grippy wipes. The company provides us with cheap wipes. So they're non-grippy. So my hand, I'm wiping away. My hand slides off the wipe, bam, right into this really thick metal post. Hard. Hmm. And it's already swollen. And can you see the black line on the end of my finger?
Yes, I can.
Oh, so Jay got me some ice. I don't know if I'm going to be able to play Hurt for the entire 4 hours. Are you laughing? Well, I mean, it hurts like a son of a gun.
I believe it, though.
It's a good thing it's not my writing hand, but it is my texting hand. So I'm not, no one's going to hear from me. I'm about to go radio silent for the next 4 days.
Four days. Wow. Well,
and I might lose the end of my finger. You know.
I don't think you're going to lose the end of the
finger. What if I lose my fingernail?
Finger.
finger.
I don't think you're going to lose the end of your finger. I think your finger will stay intact.
I can't believe you're not taking this seriously.
Yeah, I got to be fair. I walked in and I thought it was going to be a little different. I thought it was going to be a little worse. I got to be fair.
How was your July 4th?
Good. Uneventful, which is the best way.
Hung out with the fam at home, or did you go somewhere with
yes.
Matthew?
Yes. Long story short, my wife had said to me a couple of day before or whatever, talking about possibly going to see the fireworks. Mm-hmm. And my response was, you're aware that we have a one-month-old.
Okay.
So... Maybe needless to say, right, this conversation didn't last for very long, and me being the coward that I am, I tried to avoid it to hope that she would come to her senses and hopefully it was, you know, sleep deprivation that
yes.
had her thinking, like, why we could possibly do that. I know she would say, oh, we're further away, we'll go to that parking lot, whatever. It's not like we were the only one that could find a parking lot. There's 9 million people that go to that parking lot.
Yes.
So, luckily, on the 4th of July, she mentioned it for a half a beat. I gave her a look that basically said, are you for real? And I think she realized at that point, and then she looked at me and said, what about ice cream? I said, that's a good idea. Let's get ice cream. Yes. Yeah, there we go. Here we go. So did that, went home, put the fireworks on the TV. I will say this is the first time I've ever put the fireworks on TV. Wow. They're worse than I thought. And
meaning the TV broadcast?
No, not the broadcast. It's just, I mean, boring. It's just, I like fireworks, but like watching them on TV,
it doesn't even remotely have the same
like, what are we doing?
Effect.
So, she fed the one-month-old during this. My three-year-old crawled in my lap and fell asleep. Aww. My nine-year-old kind of sidled up next to me and looked at me and he said, this is awful. And I said, what? I'm looking at him. I'm like, all right, bud, your mother wants us to, as a family, like watch the fireworks, just keep your mouth shut for a couple seconds. He's like, all right. So 2 seconds later, he put his head down on my lap, my chest next to my daughter.
Aww.
The two of them fell asleep on top of me. And the night ended, and I was very, very happy.
Did you fall asleep in that position, too? Did body parts fall asleep while they were sleeping on you?
Well, yeah, that always happens.
Aww.
And part of, my eyes were, I did the typical old man thing, where you're like Mr. Burns, every 5 minutes, like, I'm kind of asleep and not asleep and kind of asleep and not asleep, and just nodding off until finally kind of nudged my son, go to bed, picked up my daughter. Actually, my wife picked up my daughter. She went in, and then I had my son for the rest of the night, the one-month-old.
Did he sleep?
He sleeps for his, little stretches, and then he wakes up and he eats. But when I'm home, on the rare nights that I'm home, I take him through the night. So
that's
at least
nice.
My wife can sleep the few nights that I'm not.
See, this is why Marco is one of the best.
Well, let's not get crazy.
A great daddy, but not a great friend who's laughing at me while I'm about to lose my finger.
Yeah, again, not going to lose a finger. I don't even think you'll lose the fingernail. That's possible, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's just going to be bruised and uncomfortable for quite some time.
Okay. All right. We've got more baseball coming up. We'll take that seriously, even if you're not taking my finger injury seriously. Top of the hour, Draymond Green takes far less money than he could have gotten on the open market to stay with the Warriors. How does Chris Paul fit in? What else do they need? Yada, yada, yada. Good time in free agency. And did you see the trade? The Celtics they're breaking up the band. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Ow.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
One nothing Diamondbacks. The payoff again. Hit in the air, deep right field. There goes McCarthy back to the wall. It's gone! Alvarez ties the game in the ninth inning. Two outs, two strikes. The Mets are back. It is 1-1. The kid has done it again. Chapin slams the rosin bag on the mound. Alvarez crosses home plate. Fist bumps from Beatty and Canna. The Mets dugout has come to life, and it is a tie game in Arizona.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Is it too late for the Mets? No, we talked about surprises from the first half on the last edition of the show, if you missed it. Our home show, because we're here all week through the holiday, and there were more than a dozen responses. I could go back and count them again. There's probably even more on top of those now that pointed to the Mets' disappointment after 101 wins last season, and then Steve Cohen, their relatively new owner, making them the most expensive payroll in baseball history. Not their most expensive payroll. No, their most expensive payroll in baseball history. No one has ever committed more money to a roster than the Mets have this season. And yet, they had a June that just dropped them off the edge of a cliff. And so here they are, 18 games back because of the pace being set by the Atlanta Braves, and yet they've won four in a row, which theoretically could give them some momentum going into the All-Star break and potentially put them back on the map in the National League wild card standings. Uh-oh. So tied in the ninth inning, 1-1, still needing a little more offense.
The 0-2. Swinging a bouncing ball, tough play. Base hit, right field. Perdomo moving to his left, couldn't get to it. And now Beatty is aboard. He's the go-ahead run here in the top of the ninth. Swinging a shot in the air, deep right center field. Thomas going back to the track. It's over his head. Beatty rounding third, heading to the plate. Beatty scores. Kata heading to third base. He is there, standing up with an RBI triple. What a comeback. 2-1 Mets lead in the ninth inning.
Now, one of the reasons the comeback was available and was there for the Mets to take is because they got eight innings from their starting pitcher. Really impressive there, actually. And no, it wasn't Max Scherzer because he doesn't do eight innings. It definitely wasn't Justin Verlander because he doesn't do eight innings. Are you ready? Kodai Senga, eight innings, one run on four hits. That's how you protect your bullpen, and that's obviously how you have the opportunity to grab the lead in the ninth inning. Mark Canha, he had the go-ahead triple, the RBI triple.
Just get a good pitch.
AT&T Fiber presents a straightforward moment.
Your wine?
Thanks. I'll pretend I know what I'm doing before saying it's good.
And I'll pretend I don't know you're pretending.
Are you a gigillionaire?
Yeah, I have AT&T Fiber. The straightforward pricing has inspired me to be more straightforward.
Me too.
Ugh, this wine. I'll fetch you a better one.
Straightforward is better. No equipment fees, no data caps, no price increase at 12 months. Live like a gigillionaire with AT&T Fiber. Limited availability in select areas. Visit att.com/hypergig for details.
Do it, and I saw it well, so I told myself, if you see it there first pitch, go for it, and just put a good swing on it.
Alves is is the one that got it all going and getting some positive vibes. That reminded everybody of a lot of things we've done. Did last year and have done a little bit this year, but not as much. But that was a good inning for us.
Yeah, they're still 18 games back in their division race, but in the wild card, and right now the wild cards are possessed by Miami, Los Angeles, the Dodgers, and Philadelphia. So two of the three coming from the NL East. Actually, I should say this. The Phillies and Giants are currently tied, though the Phillies do have 1/100ths of a percentage point edge in the winning percentage. Brewers, Padres, Cubs, Pirates, all between the Mets and those last NL wild cards. But they're only 6.5 games out. Of course, if you have to include the Mets, Pirates have to be part of that too, right? Because they have the exact same record as the Mets. And they're the exact same number of games out. So we'll see. The trade deadline looms at the end of July. We had talked about this extensively with Ohtani and the Angels and what their strategy will be as they're limping to the All-Star break. We had the surgery for Mike Trout on Wednesday. He's out somewhere between 4 to 6 weeks. I know that Phil Nevin spoke about it on Wednesday before they wrapped up their series in San Diego is where they are, right? And according to Nevin, Mike is progressing, quote-unquote, well after the surgery on his left wrist. So it's a broken bone. That goes back to Monday when he fouled off a pitch. And yeah, manager Phil Nevin's confirmed. Right now they're working with a timeline that wouldn't bring Trout back before a month. Could you imagine if it's 8 weeks instead of four? Exactly 4 weeks would still be him coming back at the early end of this it's extremely optimistic. 8 weeks would be depressing for the Angels. But even if it's splitting the difference and it's 6 weeks, that's still a long time without one of the best players in baseball, without that protection around Shohei Ohtani. The two of them play so well together and they play off each other so well. But Nevin talking about why they had to have the operation done.
With these injuries, that's just the only way to fix it. It's the only way to treat it is you got to get it out of there. And so we were able to, you know, have this done rather quickly and get him back, you know, quicker than would, you know, every day you take to get the surgery would be one less day he's back. So getting it done today and getting in front of it, I think it's going to bode well for us when we get him back.
I know you're asking about Shohei Ohtani even now before I can get to it. He was in the lineup as the DH on Wednesday. Now remember, he came out of the game in the sixth on Tuesday. He was pitching. He got shelled anyway, gave up 5 runs to the Padres. But because he was wearing some type of an acrylic nail, I might need an acrylic nail or just a brand new fingertip. This could be some kind of Star Wars technology, as though I've lost my hand. Anyway, I digress. Ohtani got a blister because he was wearing an acrylic fingernail. And so he had to come out of the game against the Padres early on Wednesday. He's not planning to pitch in the All-Star game, which is kind of a bummer because fans would love to see him in Seattle. Don't know whether or not he'll DH. He is the starting DH as voted in for the American League, but he was in the lineup as the DH on Wednesday evening. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Did you see this moment in the Bronx between the Orioles and the Yankees? It really has nothing to do with either one of them, but man, scary for a cameraman.
One on, one out, kind of falafel off first. And the pitch hit on the ground at second. And he boots it, flipped the short one on to first, wild into the crowd. And so Volpe will go to second base.
Oh, my goodness. Where did the ball go? Is somebody hurt? Somebody's hurt. Oh, it hit the oh, my goodness. It hit the cameraman, one of the Yes cameramen, right on the head.
Oh, God.
It looked like the Baltimore trainer went running out there. The Yankee trainer's around. Hit him smack on the side of the head.
Oh, God.
So we have a stoppage in action here. I couldn't see who it was.
The ball did go flying into the crowd. And I didn't see it hit the cameraman. Oh, that's terrible.
It looked like it hit him right on the side of the head. I mean, there's no way you can see. You've got your head in the underneath the hood thing trying to shoot the game. And Oriole standing there extremely concerned.
His name is Pete Stendel of Yes Network, which is the Yankees' home TV network, and he gets hit in the head by a wild throw from Gunnar Henderson, the rookie shortstop for the Baltimore Orioles, and they did attend to him. Thankfully, he was conscious, and he was going through testing at a local hospital. No other updates beyond that on Wednesday night. We'll turn to NBA free agency next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.